And welcome back to In Focus News Radio KMAN. And the rest of the show will be featuring Manhattan Area Technical College. And joining us via Zoom here is President Jim Jeanette. Thanks for being with us today.
Good to be with you. It's a beautiful day.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. And, you know, we've been talking education here this hour. We talked to Pottawatomie County Schools and a little bit about enrollment numbers. I'm curious how enrollment is looking for MATC this semester.
Well, you know, higher ed across the state took a bit of a hit with COVID and things. No different with us. And it wasn't unexpected. A good portion of our enrollment is based on getting students started early while they're in high school. And with all of the K-12 districts kind of staggering when they were going to start, how they were going to deliver classes, were they going to go online, hybrid, face-to-face, those things all affected what we could do to help them. So we're down, I think headcount we're off not quite 10%, or credit hours. And again, it wasn't unexpected. Our core programs, as a tech college, we look at the core programs, and almost all our programs are what are deemed essential programs for the workforce. And most of them are close to capacity, if not at capacity. So the primary reason for our enrollment decline is the secondary students starting college early, and it's related to COVID and the staggering ways K-12 had to get going.
That being said, have you had any programs where you had to maybe reduce down a little bit or maybe just cancel outright?
You know, we canceled some courses, but we tried to keep as many of them going, especially for students who need that course for their program. And our faculty are great, have been great to work with. We're actually, there's some areas where what we're looking at, what can we do to increase capacity in the program? Welding, for instance. My big worry, and I also represent the tech colleges as their president of the council with KBOR and Governor's Education Council and stuff. What I'm worried about is the impact of this gap, if you call it. They call it the gap year. Well, it's going to be at least 2 years of gap of secondary students being interested in post-secondary ed. And they're either not starting as quickly with early college, they're not going on to college after they graduate, and it's going to be a heck of an impact on our workforce and on the economy. The other thing many colleges across the state and the nation are seeing that have healthcare programs, we're getting fewer applicants to go into healthcare. And again, that's the sector of the occupational sector that's under the most strain. And those are two things I look at, and they give me a lot of pause about, man, this is going to hurt for a longer period of time than people think. Tech ed is still strong. It's needed. You know, we haven't seen any dip as far as job placement. Our students are getting jobs. They're getting offers before they graduate. But I am concerned about that gap of getting people into the system earlier and getting the right number of people into healthcare.
Mm. Well, it's obviously difficult times financially for a lot of folks. And I'm curious, with a 10% dip in enrollment, how is that going to help hinder your finances there?
Well, yeah. Unlike a community college or the school districts, we have no taxing authority. So we don't get any property tax money or sales tax money from any entity. We get our budget is a little over $6 million. We get about $2 million from the state regents based on enrollment. Everything else we get is based on tuition and fees collections from students. So we're very much like a business. We got to sell our product or else. This year, we've been fortunate with the CARES Act, the stimulus funds from Congress and through the state. We brought in right around $750,000 there. So that's helped offset the budget decline to an extent. But the stimulus funds come with a lot of very narrow ways to use the money. But it's still been very handy. And I really want to thank our congressmen and senators. I want to thank the state legislature and the governor. The county officials, both in Pott and Riley counties, thinking of us and getting us involved with the stimulus funds. Here's how we've been able to use it. First off is the safety measures, the protocols to keep employees and students and visitors safe to campus. So the masks, the PPE gear, the sanitizing we do, face shields, et cetera. We reopened in first part of May with the permission of Julie Gibbs from the county health department. She went through what we have been doing, and she approved it. And we've had relatively minimal impact of COVID with students and employers. We get people exposed or maybe positive, not as many positives as you might think, but we've been able to work with those students and with those employees. Many of our staff have been able to work remotely with little loss in production, which has been amazing. The other thing with the CARES Act funds, we already had beefed up a lot of our IT infrastructure and distance learning. We've had a federal grant for a few years to help us with that. So we had fewer difficulties than a lot of institutions of education had in basically flipping the switch and doing more with online. And so we have some incredible technology we're able to use, like with Zoom, Microsoft Teams, online. So in that regard, the CARES Act funds, the stimulus funds, have been a huge blessing to our college and to our students and everything we do.
Okay. Well, and obviously, the financial hit's going to not just be this year. It's going to probably linger for a couple more years, I would imagine. As you mentioned, it's going to take time for people to start getting back into kind of their normal routines. Right. And how long do you think this realistically will last?
You know, if I look at my crystal ball, which is pretty fuzzy, I don't think this is going to go away until probably sometime in late 22, maybe 23. By the time there's a vaccine is not the answer alone. It's vaccine plus safety protocols. A lot of people talk about herd immunity, and I'm no doctor or scientist. I don't want to get into deep discussion on that, but from what I read, that's not too likely to happen either. The good thing we've noticed, you know, when this happened in the spring and we had to shut down for a little bit and then start things back up, that was a big interruption to students anywhere in the state, whether it was K-12 or higher ed. It was not expected. Starting classes this fall, students knew what to expect. They don't complain about wearing a mask. And we require masks on campus, unless you're in a lab setting where it's dangerous, like welding. Students have adapted. Our faculty, I cannot say enough good things about how they have adapted with instruction. And the cool thing is, I've listened to their comments, I've sat in on some of the committee meetings, is they see how cool this technology is to use even when the virus isn't affecting us. It's really opened so many more doors for them on how they can work with our students and provide multiple learning opportunities. So, you know, I tend to be as optimistic as I can be about things, and there are some good things coming out of this bad situation.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Well, the technology piece for sure. That's one of them. No doubt. And we've realized that here, even in our jobs, how efficient you can be using some of this technology. I'll tell you what, let's take a quick time out. We'll come back. We got to talk about some grant projects that are in the works for MATC. We'll do that next on In Focus on KMAN.